Sometimes when you visit a church, your attention might be captured by something other than the beautiful ornaments and cloth on the altar. If you were to look at the walls, you might see, often rendered in warm tones with soft lighting, paintings. You might see images of Jesus and the Virgin Mary, or of Jesus on the cross. You may see a person before the image, their lips moving in silent prayer. Their hands may rest on their breast or at the base of the image, lit by the soft glow of votive candles on an iron stand. Sometimes you may see little children hurriedly touch the image with the tips of their fingers, which they then draw to their lips to kiss, scurrying on to the next saint, and the next, and the next, gathering graces in a childlike game. Welcome to the Altar of Time, a history of India's Christian art. My name is Kevin Fernandez. In today's episode, we stop in the collection of the Museum of Christian Art to admire not paintings, but the frames that once held them. The first is over 125 centimeters or 4 feet in height, made of sturdy wood. It's composed of broad panels on all sides, which are beautifully carved with angels. Decorated with polychrome and gilt, the angels wear billowing tunics or gowns with gilded borders and hanging tassels. This is how they were usually depicted in the 16th and 17th centuries. Blue wings emerge from the angels' shoulders, rising above their heads and lending them a sense of lightness and movement, as though they are floating around the flame. They hold vines and bunches of grapes, suggesting that the frame may have originally held a painting depicting some aspect of the Eucharist, an important Catholic ritual that we'll explore further in our next episode. For now, suffice it to say that the Eucharist involves the consecration of wine and wafers of bread as a representation of the body of Jesus Christ. The grapes that the angels hold may refer to the consecration of wine. A phenomenal amount of care went into the conception and execution of this work. The frame itself is much larger than the painting it would have contained. It consists of multiple layers, adding a sense of depth and movement, with rows of pearls alternating with short rods, rows of aquatic plants, and ovals. True to the Indo-Portuguese Baroque aesthetic, no space is left unornamented. The inner and outer corners of the frames have tiny groups of tiny cherub heads, creating an additional layer of decoration, creating a sense of movement and being suspended in air. This use of cherub heads and wings is common on wall-mounted brackets on the walls of churches. On either sides of the frame, angels are positioned vertically, one above the other. This ascending composition seems reminiscent of a vision that the biblical patriarch Jacob sees.
Yeka zager pautis, dis darir podlolo, dekun tane tei rat sarli. Te aslelya fatrya modlo, ek fator geun tane aple ushin keli, ani to ard podlo. Tedna taka ek sopan podli, tei ek nison asli. Te zamin taun sargak tenk teli, ani devachi dut, ticher sotta deun teli. Utputi grant, atavis adyay, ikra ani bara.
When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Genesis chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. The vertical movement in the frame is a reminder of how art objects in Christendom are not objects of veneration in themselves, but are attempts to draw the attention of the devotee to the mystery or event of faith. These usually come from biblical narratives, the lives of saints, or other Christian traditions. And this is precisely what makes this object fascinating. As beautiful and ornate as this frame is, it was meant only to protect and display an image. The image was meant to hold the attention of the viewer and direct their devotion. And yet the image is now lost, leaving behind only its frame. This frame probably hung on a wall or was a panel in a wall-size wooden relief. Today, sitting in the well-lit galleries of the Museum of Christian Art, having lost its original content, this frame shifts from being a means to an end in itself. From merely holding an object of admiration to becoming an object of admiration in itself. How far this frame has come. Its original makers could never have imagined that it would someday be more interesting to its viewers than the painting it once contained. And this fact reveals a great deal of how the meaning of an object evolves and transforms through the process of being placed in a museum. It might not play the same role as it originally did, but it nevertheless offers us a priceless glimpse into devotion, imagination, and mastery of craftspeople in 17th century India. The second object we're looking at this episode is much smaller, less than a fourth of the size of the first. It is a 17th century image of the Virgin Mary in a frame. Unlike the first frame, with its suggestion of loud and moving angels, this one is silent and intimate. Within it is a painting on paper of a private moment between mother and child. Mary watches over her sleeping baby Jesus, whose head is cradled in the crook of his arm. The viewer is reminded of the silent adoration they are called to, tempted to lower their gaze and their head, just as Mary does. The Virgin's skin has a warm, translucent, almost divine glow. The painting has a narrow border in uncolored paper, but beyond that, it is framed in four nested panels of filigreed silver and enamel. The outermost layer consists of floral silver filigree motifs, arranged in cartouches or smaller ornamented frames. The cartouches are formed by a typically Indian arch frieze, interrupted by leaf decorations in the corners. The edge is marked by a spiral silver trim, which appears to be damaged at the lower right corner. The inspiration for this filigree work may well have come from Odisha, where the Portuguese had a presence in the ports of Balasore and Pipili. The next two layers of framing have enamel work in green and blue. Green is associated with fertility, and blue is the traditional color of the Virgin Mary's garments. These frames are decorated with highly stylized chintz-like motifs, similar to those on Indian trade textiles from the period. Originally a Deccan fabric, chintz was being produced along India's east and west coasts by the 17th century, and the Portuguese exported it widely. Chintz motifs could have inspired Indo-Portuguese artisans who made these frames. Suspended in a sea of blue and green enamel, the coiling botanicals in the frame add to the overall air of peace and tranquility in the central composition. Within, a mother cherishes her angelic child, and perhaps she cherishes a few moments of quiet and solitude in a day centered around caring for her son. The touching humanity of this moment reminds us that the makers of the artifacts we see in museums were as human as you and I. This small image was probably created for intimate consumption. Unlike the impressive first frame, which was almost certainly meant for display in a church. Even though this piece comes to the collection of the Museum of Christian Art from the grand, imposing Basilica of Bom Jesus, it is likely that it was commissioned for a private oratorio, a writing desk, or even a vanity table. Was this a gift from a father to a daughter? Or a husband to his young bride, reminding her to look to the epitome of Christian womanhood? Was it meant to remind her to take solace and comfort in the tranquility of the Virgin's gaze? Before this frame slipped through the cracks of time and found its way through Bom Jesu and into the halls of the museum. From a tender, personal object, perhaps meant only for a few eyes, this frame, like the first, is now gazed upon by thousands of visitors in a brightly lit museum, made for two very different contexts by hands and hearts as human as ours. They become the same in this space, their original purpose only to be guessed. As we gaze upon them, we must wonder, what other silent secrets sleep in them, forever lost to the altars of time?